Haggai Davis. What's happening, man?
Oh, I'm just excited to be here, Brian.
It's this week's full serving of Tech Gumbo. It includes a lot of Elon Musk this week.
Yes. Every now and then we have to go ahead and talk about Voldemort. It's hard to ignore him for too long.
Yeah, I understand. And it's hard for him to be out of camera for too long, too. I get that part as well. But just the headlines involving Tesla is dragging Apple into its upcoming fatal autopilot crash trial.
They were trying.
Okay, but it's upcoming.
They settled it.
Okay.
They were trying to get Apple involved to say, because the guy was supposedly playing on his iPhone, playing a game, instead of driving his Tesla, the fully self-driving autopilot, which is not fully self-driving, didn't see that the lines on the road had faded when the road curved and he went right into an embankment and died. And so Tesla was trying to say, hey, Apple, we show us all the history of what he was doing on his phone.
Yeah.
And Apple said, no, that's not us.
It doesn't matter what he was doing on his phone. It just matters that he wasn't paying attention.
Right.
And there's a good four or five stories about Elon, but I want to start off with talking about AI and fast food. In fact, I got to scroll all the way down here because it's the last story that y'all had. AI in the fast lane, revolutionizing fast food through technology. So the fast food industry, known for its quick service and convenience, is increasingly turning to AI to enhance customer experience and operational efficiency. From AI-driven order taking to predictive analytics for inventory management, fast food chains are at the forefront of adopting innovative technologies. And then the article says they go on to explore the current landscape of AI and fast food chains, highlighting real-world examples and discussing future possibilities. I want to know, number one, where are we at with AI in fast food?
Not as far along as you would think.
Okay. Why?
Well, the first place that they're trying to use AI when it comes to fast foods is in the drive-thru.
Mm-hmm.
You talk into the microphone, the large language model hears you, understands what you're saying, and then puts it up on the screen.
Do they hear me as well as I hear them?
No.
Because also there's going to be a problem if they do.
The problem is the AI, large language models are only as good as the information that you feed into them.
Right.
And they have to learn language. They have to learn patterns. And so if you speak with a very clear diction, the same way that the programmers who coded this large language model speak, then that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But when you start throwing in all the different dialects and the accents that we have across the United States, the LLMs get confused. And what happens is they outsource these drive-thrus to call centers in the Philippines. And so some guy in the Philippines at behind a desk is listening to you take your order and he's typing it in.
Right.
Which is showing up back on the screen. And so there's a company called Presto that is pushing this technology. That they're saying 90% of all orders will not need any kind of human intervention, except it comes out that 70% of all orders need human intervention when they're trying to use these AI large language models. Because, you know, when you got Cajuns here, you got the Hispanic in Southwest USA, you got Boston with their accents.
Yeah, Condon right down the hall.
Condon, and I mean, you got all these different dialects from around the country. And none of them are easy to understand for these LLMs because they're used to listening to guys who have very clear diction and speak very clearly into a microphone.
Right.
And when you get there in a drive-thru and you have all the noise going around, you have the radio playing, it's hard for these machines to break down exactly what it is you're saying. And it garbles up the order. And so you have to have some guy in a call center listen to what you're saying and become the human interaction of the AI.
Now, what I took away from this article was they're looking to personalize the drive-thru experience. Does that mean get predictive in what you're going to order? Like if every, let's say every Tuesday I want a hot and spicy McChicken from McDonald's, is it supposed to get predictive about what I like and when?
No, what it's trying to do is have the McDonald's app say, hey, Brian, it's Tuesday at 2:30. You probably want a little snack. How about swing by and grab some French fries?
Right.
To hold you over till dinner.
Okay. So not to be predictive in taking my order, but be predictive in my patterns of when I eat.
Yes.
So that it can remind me that I haven't eaten.
Yes.
All right. That's weak.
And then
that's
they're,
so
they're,
weak.
They're also like Taco Bell or Yum brands. They've created an app for the Taco Bell and Pizza Huts that it's called Super App, which is they're using to help run the restaurants. And so if you're at the Pizza Hut and you're a relatively new employee, instead of going to the employee manual, you can pull out your phone and say, okay, what temperature do I set the oven at? And it'll tell you exactly how to set the ovens, what temperatures, how to prepare the dough. So this thing will coach you instead of you reading a manual to learn how to do what you've got to do.
Wait, why am I cooking it? Don't I go there for this?
No, you're the employee, not the visitor.
Oh, okay, I was gonna say. No. Remember Papa Murphy's Pizza?
Yes.
You know what? I miss Papa Murphy's.
That was good.
Take and bake, man. That was the way to roll. But I don't know what KFC and Taco Bell are gonna remind me of, other than you know.
No.
It's Wednesday, haven't destroyed a toilet.
The super app is for the employees, not for the patrons of the restaurant.
Important difference right there. Yes.
But they are using the AI in the restaurant to run the restaurant.
Are we overthinking this? Because let me give you a great example. The best use of technology, hands down, that I've seen from fast food. My wife swears by it. Chick-fil-A's app. Chick-fil-A's app makes the whole world simple. And from ordering via the app, which can get done in the time that you're sitting in a red light, to pulling in the drive-thru and having everything brought out to you with a smile and a my pleasure, the Chick-fil-A app is like I was like, come on, Chris, you're selling me on a fast food app, until I saw it in action, until I saw her use it, and I became a believer as well. And that's an unpaid endorsement, by the way. Chick-fil-A doesn't give me money; they take my money. But I don't know why you'd have to go further than that.
I've never used the Chick-fil-A app. I really don't go to Chick-fil-A that often. I do like the McDonald's unsweet tea, and I love to swing in for $1.89. I can get a big thing of a sweet tea for riding around. But every time I pull up to the McDonald's, are you using the app? No, I just want some tea. Would you like to use the app? No, I don't want to use your app. I just want some tea. And it's aggravating.
So, and we got to talk about balance here. When it comes to how much are we using the app versus are we destroying an entire field of employment?
So,
because I'm not opposed to it. It's not a deal breaker for me.
So the LLMs, the artificial intelligence, the generative AI, whatever, you know, catchphrase you want to use for it nowadays, it's not quite good enough to take away that 15-year-old's job, but it's coming.
I don't need AI or an app to tell me I have to pull forward for 15 minutes to get spicy.
I mean, you're still going to need that kid to push the broom around, sweep the floors. You're still going to need somebody to go and empty the garbage, and you're going to need somebody to flip the burger.
Boys ain't easy to love, and they're harder.
Doctors and lawyers and such. No,
yeah.
No, don't do that.
No. Mamas, want your babies to be engineers right about now.
An AI software engineer, to be specific.
AI software engineer, and go work for Elon Musk.
Or Microsoft or Apple or Amazon or any one of these big corporations.
Okay, well, but it's Elon offering the bonuses, right?
Well, Elon's just in the wars. The pay wars. Mm. I mean, Elon has XAI. He has his own artificial intelligence company, and they're offering six-figure signing bonuses, like these are NFL wide receivers or something. And that's just the signing bonus. That's not the annual salary.
Right.
So if you're really good enough to be an AI software engineer, and there's not many out there, relatively speaking, compared to...
Sure.
A six-figure signing bonus. And that should tell you what kind of salaries these people are demanding.
Okay. But if I'm Microsoft or I'm Elon Musk... If one out of every 10 of these engineers finds an application for AI that opens up a whole new market, I'm banking money hand over fist. If one out of every 50 finds something, I mean, you want to talk about, $1 billion valuation on a new idea. If I'm paying out six figures in a signing bonus, then
it's not
one
even pocket change.
Literally one out of every 1,000, and I'm still making money. Just the way that we follow tech and overinvest in tech before it even shows profitability. But yeah, I could see this. This is, if I'm looking at this through the lens of the CEO who's going to offer these bonuses, I totally see that happening.
If Big Head can do it on Silicon Valley, anybody can.
Okay.
There's my, such, pop, there's my there pop culture go. Reference.
Well done, sir. Well done. You and I have been doing this segment since we launched this show, and that is might possibly be your first pop culture reference.
Yep.
All right.
There you go.
Referencing Big Head from Silicon Valley.
Down, John. I had a pop culture reference.
It was a good one, too.
And it was very appropriate. Funny at that.
Yeah. All right. So, yes, if it could work for Big Head over at Hulu, then it can work for anybody. Where does this go, though? Like, you get the six-figure signing bonus.
You're giving a multi-year commitment, and so you're going to go to work for Apple or Microsoft or Twitter or whichever one of the companies that you sign on for with your, and then you're going to go create something that.
And I'm thinking more of Richard than I am Big Head, and I don't want to get too inside baseball on the references to the show. But the value here is in the creation of the new application, right? So,
fixing what the guys who think they know what they're doing and don't,
right? There's that too, right? When you got a bunch of people who are pushing an application, but there's something slightly wrong with it. Six figures is what it's worth to go work for someone else rather than continue to explore on your own. Six figures of signing bonus plus a salary, rather than continue to explore on your own, trying to push your own creativity. So I would look for a lot of what already exists to get better rather than looking for something new to come out of ideas like this.
More than likely, you're there. And obviously, I'm not that smart. That's why I'm here in Baton Rouge, not in Silicon Valley, making seven figures.
Can we talk about Apple Home robots for a minute?
Oh, sure.
We got about 2.5 minutes left in the segment. The headline reads, "Goodbye, Apple Car. Hello, Apple Home robots." What can we expect from good old Rosie here?
So if you remember a couple of years back, Amazon tried to roll out their Astro, the home robot, which was basically...
Astro was the dog. Rosie was the robot. Sorry, get your Jetsons right, Apple.
But, that was Amazon.
Oh, Amazon, excuse me.
But it was an iPad on wheels, basically, that rolled around your house with video cameras, videoing everything inside your house, including you going to the bathroom or changing in your closet, and that's why the damn thing failed.
Yeah.
Well, so because Apple gave up on trying to build an autonomous car, they still have employees that know how to do robotics and artificial intelligence, and they said, well, what if we tried to build a home robot? Now, Apple has not come out and said, we are building a home robot. There's a lot of speculation from a lot of different people who follow Apple very closely that's saying that they're trying to do this. But they're not trying to build the iPad on wheels the way Amazon did. They're trying to build it more of a humanoid-looking robot.
Okay, but they're not starting by solving a problem.
That's the biggest problem.
Okay.
Nobody wants this bot walking around the house videoing the entire inside of my house, including me.
What if my Roomba could bring me a beer? There's your robot right there. Now we've got a starting point. If my Roomba could bring me a beer, we've got a problem and a solution.
But that's what kids are for.
That's for the vacuuming or for the beer?
For the beer.
All right, that's fair.
Roomba's taking care of the floor.
But you see where I'm going with this is when they go to the drawing board for things like this, they're thinking about it like database engineers. They're not thinking about it in terms of
absolutely
stoke the fireplace. They're not thinking about it in terms of, you know.
They're thinking about putting these cameras on the Roombas that are running around that can map out the house and know what everything's going on in the house.
Right.
They're not thinking, oh, my God, this Roomba can take a picture of me sitting on the toilet.
Unload the groceries from the car.
It's not going to do that.
Yeah. All right. And what else is up on the show this week?
Oh, we're going to talk about that. We're doing a lot of the AT&T with their big lawsuit, but we're also going to talk about how to talk about cybersecurity to your elderly parents and how to help them not get scammed. Because like my 88-year-old mother, I love her. She tries on her computer, but she clicks on everything. And you gotta take care of mom.
The online scams get more advanced every single day, every single minute.
It's tough.
Saturday and Sunday at 4 right here on Talk 107.3 FM or anywhere you get your podcasts on demand. You can get a full serving of Tech Gumbo, or every Thursday at this time, Haggai joins us for a cup of Tech Gumbo. Appreciate you.